It's one of my all-time favorites right there. He's always been faithful. I'm not. But what he is. And that's what matters this morning. All right. Glad you're here this morning. Won't you listen carefully? I know this is the Christmas season, but I don't know that you'll ever get a Christmas message this year. I don't think it'll happen. We're not going to go by calendar. We're going to go by what we feel the Lord wants us to do. And we want you to think about that. I'm afraid that sometimes we get into Christmas season and we float through the rest of the year, coast through the rest of the year, and then we try to regroup January and try to get something going. But if we'll finish strong, if we can finish strong, then when the challenge comes in January, our new theme and our challenge comes, then we'll be ready to take it. We don't have to get ready. We're already ready to take it. And we need to stick in here, all right? Been a tough year, been a long year, been a tough year, been a lot of sorrows, a lot of disappointments, a lot of circumstance, sicknesses, and death, and a lot of things that happened. And all these things are not made to make us lose focus. When trials or troubles come, they are designed to get us to look to the Lord, not look away. But it's our nature to look away because we're looking for answers. And that's not where it's at. We're going somewhere. We got to live this life by faith. This is a life of faith. You understand that this morning. This is a life of faith. And life of faith is not having all the answers. It's not knowing everything. But it's stepping out and going on and selling out to the Lord. That's what we're going to have to do. So I'm going to challenge you again this morning. Last Sunday we challenged you to be the one. And we preached to you about being one, being the one that comes back and thanks the Lord. The 10 lepers, we preached to you last week. As the 10 lepers that were healed, they were all cleansed, but only one of them come back. I want to be that one. Now, I can't help if whether you want to be or not. I can't. All I can do is challenge you, give you the Word of God, and challenge you. Everyone has to decide for themselves. But I want to be the one. I don't do I feel like quitting at times? Well, yeah. That's what part of the day you want to discuss? You know, we morning or evening or midnight or it don't matter. Sure, there's always times come, depressing times, discouraging times. But I want to be the one. If everybody else throws their hands up, I won't be the one that says I ain't quitting. If everybody else says I'm not doing it no more, I want to be the one that says I'm going to keep on doing it. I'm having a hard time backing up. I'm having a hard time forgetting all these things. And here in a little bit, we're going to baptize a young man. And I can't help but sit there and look at Paulie. Paul, you remember in December of, 87. December of 87, you, on a Sunday morning, as a lost young man, you led Greg Ramsey down to the altar, getting him saved, and you was lost yourself. Remember that? And then the next Sunday, you got it. Remember that? I remember. I can still see you walking down the aisle. That's been a long time. That's when I first started, way back a long time ago. And now I'm going to baptize a third generation, second generation, something. Anyway, it's other than him. So I can't quit. Can't quit. But what I can do is I can make sure I'm all in. All right, that's what I can make sure this morning. So let's pray together. We're going to look in 1 Kings in just a moment, and it'll be similar. We've preached this similar. I'm not going to preach you nothing new. If y'all just keep on coming, y'all going to hear the same thing. I'm against the same things I've always been against. I've not changed my mind. I'm still against things that's wrong. I'm still against things that's against the church. I'm still against things that's against the Bible. I'm still against other version Bibles. I'm still against sin. And that's where it's going to be until I leave this world. I've preached like this for over 40 years, and I'm going to continue that. So I want you to keep coming. And I don't want you to say, well, it's the same old thing. Well, if you go somewhere where they're preaching the Bible, it's going to be the same thing there. All right, so let's go ahead and stick in here with us, and we'll just go to heaven together. How about that? That'd be all right? All right, well, let's pray. Father, I come, and Lord, I'm understanding fully that I can do nothing. I'm understanding fully that I'm weak and I'm a wretch. I understand that. Have no power of my own, have no ability other than what you give. And I'm depending wholly upon you just now. I ask you to help me. Cleanse me that I might hear from you, that I might give as I hear from you, Lord, from your word. Lord, I'm not looking for an audible voice. I'm looking for leadership of the Holy Spirit to move upon us, speak to us from your word this morning. Lord, I pray for power, not just to preach, but I pray for power in a service to hear, to listen, then to obey. Lord, I pray that we might focus upon you this morning. Lord, it's hard sometimes, but help us to focus on you this morning, I'm asking. And we're going to thank you for all that you do in Jesus' name. And amen. You know, we're already here in December, and I appreciate, by the way, I appreciate the time off a couple of weeks here, last couple of Sundays and Wednesdays, and the time off to regroup and try to clear my mind and get ready for the coming year. I appreciate that time you allow me to have, and so as don't go unnoticed. But as we sit and think and meditate and fight battles and wars in our own minds and our own hearts, we realize now we are here in December. Do what? Well, here we are in.
Is it already on?
All right. I'm out. This ain't for you to hear me. It's for recording purposes. I don't need it for you to hear me. All right. But here we are in December, and you know where our focus is going to be? And I'm just going to preach plain this morning. I'm going to challenge you this morning. But our focus is already now on Christmas. And not Christ, but Christmas.
Hello.
And our focus is on gifts. Not Christ, but gifts. And our focus is already on dinners. Not Christ, but dinners. I mean, that's where our mind's at, presents and all this. And that's part of the year, but that's why December becomes a low instead of a high, because of the way our focus goes. And I mean, that's just life. And we're busy planning to be more busy. Everybody is busy. Everybody in here is busy. And we're making plans to be more busy. And we're trying to find a day to be more busy. We're trying to find a date on our calendar so we can do more and be more busy. That's where our life has become. We're just busy. And that's just, like I say, that's part of it. And then we've come to the place that our church has become relaxed. And we're ending up the year. See, everything, businesses trying to get everything pushed in to the end of the year. They get the production up to the end of the year, get their marks up, get all their paperwork ready, everything for the coming year. They're not focusing on the present. They're focusing on what's going to come. I got to get this done so I can go over there. I got to have this so I can go yonder. I got to get, and our mind is the same way when it comes to the Lord and the church. We've already spent, and now we're not the same about this. We've spent where Sunday recreation has weakened the church, and
Amen.
Sunday sports has destroyed
yes.
our churches. It's not popular, but it's true. Sunday activity apart from the church house is not growing us spiritually, but it's diminishing us spiritually. The spiritual temperature of individuals is not what it was, me included. And it's because we've let things come before us. And the Lord, and the Lord and the church has took a back seat. And it's on a back burner. And that's just the way it is. Our spiritual, what would be a good way to say it, maybe our fundamental spiritual problem is that we want something new from God, but we don't want to do nothing new to get it. We want to see a move of God, but we're not going to move. We just want to see God move. And we've got things that we need changed, but we want God to change it, but we're not going to change. We want God to change the things in our life. See, let me tell you, you're not going to ever get more than 24 hours in a day. There's never going to be more than 7 days in a week. There's never going to be. That's always going to be that way. And what we got to do is not just prioritize, but we got to dedicate what we're going to give to God. And God is, I believe, tired of getting leftovers. Now, I don't mind leftovers. We never did have much at home with leftovers. But I don't mind eating them every now and then. And it's rare. We didn't have them when I was growing up because I ate what was there when what the rest didn't eat. That's why I looked the way I do. And then we rode the boys and we fixed and we ate what was there. And then we had a meal the next day. It was rare. People said, you like potato cakes? Yeah, I love them. We never have them because there's never no leftover mashed potatoes. They're some things you just don't have. You know, I love them, but you just don't get to eat it. But maybe if when you have a dinner, you take some home or something like that. But what I want you to understand is that we give God leftovers a lot of times. And God's not interested in activity. Want you to understand, God's not interested in your secular activity. Now, He's involved, but He's not interested. God is not, now let me say it again because I don't know that we get it. God is not interested in our secular activity. Now, He's involved in all of our activity, but that's not on His priority. Our secular activity is not that, boy, I can't wait till they do this and spend less time with me. I can't wait till they do this and are not at the church. I can't wait till they do this and don't have time to read. God don't sit there and do that. Amen, preacher. All right. Think about it. God's not interested in our secular activity. He's involved in all of our life, but He's not interested in our secular activity to put it above Him. Think about that. Now, when we think of that, then we say, well, then what's the use? Well, when you come to follow the Lord, when you got saved, you said you was going to follow Him. Yes. That's what we said. Then we ought to. Then we ought to. That's what we said we would do, so that's what we ought to do. And what we need is to be all in. We need to be all in. Now, look here in 1 Kings chapter 19. And we know the story of Elijah. And we know the story of Elisha, and we've mentioned it many times. And we're not trying to condemn nobody. I'm just going to preach this morning. I'm preaching to Mark, and I preach to anybody that will listen. And what we do with it is entirely our choices. I've been guilty of the past worrying about how people take things. And I can't do that. I'm going to have to preach what God gives, and then we're going to have to just deal with it. And I'm being harsh. Everybody understand, I'm not being harsh, but there's a plainness in the Word of God. And the more I read it, the plainer it gets. And here in 1 Kings chapter 19, start at verse 19, it says, "And so he departed thence," speaking of Elijah, "and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plying with 12 yokes of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, Go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Now, you'll say, well, what all is in there? Well, there's a lot in here. And let's look at it just for a moment, then we'll give you some thoughts this morning. To start with, we know Elijah was the prophet of God. And the prophet of God was God's spokesman. In that day, there wasn't no, the Holy Spirit didn't reside in the heart of men and women. And he used his prophets. The Holy Spirit's always been because he's God. But he worked in a little different way. And he used his prophets to speak as the word of God. And when Elijah come by, he knew it wasn't going to be long before he was going to be taken out. And he needed a successor. And he went by Elisha's place. Now, can I tell you that there's a lot that's went on before us. Now, here we are in 2024, and there's a lot of great men and women of God that's went before us. Yeah. And they went depending on us to carry on. And there's some that won't be long that they'll be leaving us. And they're going to be needing successors. And we're going to need people to carry on. And it goes on and on and on like that. And it's because that's the work of God and what God wants. God did not save you for you just to sit still and do nothing. But God saved you to go and to do and to work and to be all in and be His instrument. That's why God saved you. God saved you to praise Him and worship Him here. God saved you to serve Him here. But yet we are entangled with the cares of the world to the degree that that's what controls us instead of the Lord Himself. And that's just the way it is. Now, when we look at Elisha here, Elisha was of a wealthy family. If you read about Elisha, study about Elisha, he had to be of a from where he was from. It was there in a valley where it was good farmland, good place for crops. And everybody that lived in that area, they farmed, they was productive. But the normal was to have one ox and one plow and one guy doing it. A family. But in Elisha's family, they had a little bit more. They were a little bit more productive. They had 12 plows running and 12 the yoke of oxen that was working with them, and they had more than just one man doing it. They was more wealthy, if you would. Right. There was a lot here because Elisha walked away from it all. It wasn't that he just quit plowing. There's a lot of times, has anybody here ever went behind a plow? Yeah. Anybody ever plow? Yeah. Well, I tried to plow. I had that old horse, my old white horse tried to plow. I broke the plow. Yeah. And I sold the plow for, I sold a broke plow for $100, I think. Sold a broke plow for $100, and the man was tickled to get it. Huh? But nevertheless, that it'd be easy to walk away from the work. All right? But Elisha wasn't just walking away from the work. He was walking away from an inheritance, and he was walking away from some wealth. He was walking away from some prestige. There was a lot involved with Elisha and him working there at that home. Does everybody understand? A lot of secular activity. Now, I'm not against secular activity. We got to work and make a living. That's not what I'm saying. Does everybody understand that? I'm not telling everybody to quit their job and go on a mountain and look for Jesus to come like he did back in 1912, 1914. What I'm saying? I'm saying that our secular life needs to diminish and our spiritual life needs to grow. John the Baptist said, I must decrease. He must increase. I must decrease. He must increase. All right? Now let's go on and see what the Scripture says here. It says, plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. Right, so that's 24 ox, right? If I count right, there's two and a yoke, and there's 24 oxen instead of just two. All right? And Elisha is plowing with the 12th. And then when Elijah comes by and casts his mantle upon him, that was an indication of the will of God or the call of God or the power of God, the Spirit of God moving upon Elisha. wanting him to go on. So Elisha said, well, I want to go kiss mom and dad bye. Elisha said, you do what you want to do. See, the choice, that's where the choice lay. God has already laid out in His Word what He wants from us.
Yes, that's right.
And we say, well, I'm going to go do this and that then. God says, you do what you want to do. This is the way it's supposed to be. You come on, but you do what you feel like you... It's nothing to me. Everybody follow me? God says, here it is. Well, I'm going to go back and kiss dad and mom bye. He said, what's that to me? I've done my part. I've done laid the mantle on you. You're the one that's chosen. God has chosen us when He saved us to be His spokesman, to be, Rick taught about us being the light. We're the salt of the earth, the light of the world, set upon a candlestick, glorifying God of His good works, being a testimony, being a witness, getting our family in. Let me tell you something. If we just got our family in, our churches wouldn't hold the people. If we just got our families where they need to be, if we could all just be together, and God is wanting us to get in that and get that involved, but it's going to take some things from us now. Now, we're just working up here to the message here. Let's look on. Verse 21, he says that he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them. Cooked the mare on the fire, and he built the fire. I reckon he used the plow, the handles of the plow and the wood off the yoke. Yeah. They built him a fire, and he roasted him ox. And he fed all the other workers, fed his family, ate his last meal with the family, and said, I'm out of here. He didn't have nothing to go back to. He didn't have no wealth to worry about. He didn't worry about his inheritance. He didn't worry about the instruments of the work, the plow and the yoke. He left it all and went all the way for what God had wanted him to do. Now, that did not mean he become a beggar. He just went into the full will of God. And this morning, for us to find the full will of God, we're going to have to decide whether or not we want to be all in or not. And I believe if there's ever an example of somebody getting all the way in, that was Elisha when he got all in. See, it's hard. We laugh about it. If you stand out here at the front door a lot of times, and what some of you wonderful husbands let your wife out, we understand what it's like not to be all in. Because they get their one leg out and you take off. And they're not all in. And it causes problems. Can I tell you that we need to be all in? Brother Rick taught a wonderful Sunday school lesson, and he taught about the light, how we take it for granted, and how we don't use the light as it's supposed to be, and we take getting all in for the Lord. Now, I know this, yeah, preacher, that's the same message of being dedicated, of being faithful. Yeah, it is, because that's the same message through the Bible. You're going to have God all the time. And when it's good or when it's bad, and when you got Him, when it's good, when it's bad, it's easier. Can I tell you, you need to be all in. Amen. And Elisha made that decision. He left all. He burned his past. He burnt the things that might call him back.
Right.
And this morning we need to decide to get all in and burn the things that might cause us to go back to where we're not all the way for the Lord.
Amen.
Are you following me this morning? So let's look at a couple of things here if we can. And I'm afraid we are... What would be the way to say it? We would rather rely on plan B instead of sticking with plan A. See, plan A people will never have a plan B.
Yeah. Amen.
Do you know that?
Yeah.
You say, what do you mean? Well, Elisha didn't have a plan B. He burnt his plow, he burnt the yoke, and eat the ox. There wasn't no plan B. There was only a plan A. I'm going to follow the Lord wholly, and ain't nothing to go behind. Now think about that. Now we got a plan B. We say, well, put the ox in the barn, put the plow in the shed, and I'm going to follow the Lord. Until it gets tight, then I'll get back and I'll yoke up the oxen and I'll plow again. Well, that's our plan B. That's not all in. All in is all in. And I'm sure you've heard this. We may even have told it before. I don't know what they learn in school today, but when I was in school, we learned about the people who discovered America. Of course, Christopher Columbus and the West Indies and all of that. And he discovered it. Of course, the Indians was here. He discovered them too, but he discovered new property, you know. And then we had, what's his name? Hernan Cortez. That went to Mexico from Spain. And he went to Mexico and he found they had a lot of gold down there. So they made a couple attempts to go down there and fight Montezuma. Y'all have heard of Montezuma. All the gold of the Aztecs and all of that, you know. And he went down there and they had two failed attempts. Well, finally, he went under direct orders not to go, but he went anyhow. He went down there to Mexico. And he went, with 11 ships, 110 sailors, 513 soldiers, and 13 horses, I believe. And he went and landed on the sand there in Mexico, somewhere down there offshore. And when they all unloaded everything, he said, "Now, boys, we're going to do it this time. Burn the ships." Yep. And they burn all the ships. They say, "Ain't not going to be no retreat this time. We're going to burn the ships, and you ain't going nowhere. You're going to fight or die." Yeah. Huh? We're all in this time. Yeah. That's what we need today from every one of us, is to be all in. Are you following me? This is not a shouting message, I can tell. I can tell that it don't excite you, huh? Because it's going to cost something. See, we in a sense lie when we tell someone to come and get saved. It don't cost you nothing, but it does cost you something. Now, redemption does not cost you. Redemption is paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. But for you to follow Christ, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. It's not always going to be easy. There'll be blessing. There's going to be trials. There's going to be heartache. But it's, you need to decide to be all in. All in. I see a lot of preachers quitting. They didn't get all in.
Yeah.
Me and Boyd both, we talk to preachers all the time, and a lot of my counseling that you're not aware of is with preachers.
Yep.
Can I tell you, it's a hard place to be sometimes, and you want to quit. Huh? Brother Paul, you've been in Italy 20 years. That's a long time for a missionary. 4 years, usually they quit, give up. But Paul didn't go to Italy to visit. He got in. He got all the way in. Can I tell you, we're living in a time where people don't want to get all in because there's too much responsibility. There's too much expected of them.
Right.
And we need to be all in. We need to be all in. Now, when we think about burning things, and we talk about Cortez burning the ships, and we look here in verse 21, and we see where Elisha burnt the instruments of the oxen, the yoke, and the plow, the reins, the harness, the whole nine yards, burn it all up. All right? Said, "I'm all in." Well, hear me this morning. We're going to have to burn the past.
Yes.
Now, we can't go back and change the past. But we need to burn the past. We need to burn up the past because in the past, there's past failures. And we need to burn up in past failures. We can't change the failures.
No.
You can't change him. You're going to have to put him on the fire and go on and follow the Lord. The failures that you had, were necessary maybe to be used. What did they sing a while ago? That every trial and trouble and all them heartaches, he recycled for gain. Do you notice the words of a song? For the things that we go through, he can recycle for gain if we'll allow it. But we need to be willing to go all in.
Right.
Now, let's go on. We need to burn our past failures. Burn them up. How about this? We need to burn our past success as well.
That's right.
Amen.
Just because things went good before, we need to burn that. We can't live there.
Yeah.
We can't live there. Everybody says, I want old time religion. Huh? That ain't what they mean. It means that they want to go back and live like they was living in 1950, whenever all the family was together and they was not the things that took away. It ain't got nothing to do with religion. The Lord just saved yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
We're looking at a time.
Yes.
Huh?
Right.
We're looking at a time. Can I tell you, I miss Winona. How much? None. Every time I put a plow in a garden at Mount Lookout, and the only rock that's in my garden is what somebody else put there. Because it ain't there normally. It's where I've hauled horse manure from Winona, and there's rocks mixed in the horse manure where we got it with the tractor bucket, and I got rocks in my garden, but it's not naturally there. At Winona, to dig a post hole, you didn't dig a post hole with post hole diggers. You dug it with a slate bar and a shovel and a mattock, and your post holes would be that big around. And you had to haul dirt in to find dirt to tamp a hole. Listen, I don't miss that. But that's not old-time religion. Winona is not old-time religion.
Come on.
Huh? I'm not looking for a time. Hey, what I need is a present relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and burn my past, burn my failures, burn my successes, because he's the God of now, right now.
Amen.
We still okay? When I think about my bad habits, I need to burn them up. Huh? My past regrets. Huh? You know what keeps us from going all in is because of the things we regret. Instead of going all in and say, well, if I'd done this, I could have been there already. Quit that. Quit that. Huh?
Yes.
Are you following me? I'm not going to go back and wish all my bad decisions are taken away. Bad as I hate to say it, my bad decisions are still what's made me what I am today.
Yeah.
And I've learned from some things. But I need to burn my regrets. I can't go back and change. Listen, we're running out of time this morning. We're already in 2024. Hey, listen, we've done been here. I've been here over 20 years. Come spring will be 21 years
right.
that I've been here. Man, we don't have time to waste.
Right.
We need to be all in. All in. Everybody all in. Are we still okay? We need to burn our past guilt. When we burn our past, we need to burn the guilt that we carry. Listen. And I'm guilty of this as well, but listen to me. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Is that what the Bible says? Is that what the Bible means? Then there's no need for me week after week and month after month and year after year repenting over the same sins that I'm not doing anymore, but that I did years ago. God, you washed it away. Now let me burn my guilt and burn my regrets and burn my failures and burn them things that hold me back, that I might go all in for the Lord Jesus Christ in all the way.
Amen.
There's nobody here that ain't had a bad choice. There ain't nobody here that don't wish they had done something different and wish they had done this and wish they had zigged and then said they zagged. Man, we can't live there. If we live there, it will haunt us. And the call of God is there wanting us to move on, and we're miserable because we're trying to stand on plan B instead of going on with plan A. We need to be all in. We still okay? You say, well, I can't do it. Well, Paul was a wicked sinner. When he was going on hitting on all cylinders, you know what he said he was? When he was doing everything right, planting churches, writing the Bible, he said, I'm a wretch. Yeah. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
But listen to what he says here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. It says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. I'm going to burn them things that are behind. I'm going to burn them, but I'm going to put them on the fire. They're not going to control me no more.
Yeah.
Huh? Said, I'm forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We're going to have to burn what holds us back.
Yeah.
Huh? Now, in saying all that, listen to me. You say, well, it's not easy. Well, it took a lot of gumption for Elisha to quit plowing. I wonder what Dad thought.
Yeah.
Here he running out over told that preacher he ain't plowing. Field's got to be plowed. He went over there, he unhooked. Now, I don't know whether he used a ball-peen hammer or a knife. I don't know if he used a ball-peen hammer and knocked him off in the head. I don't know if he stuck a knife in the throat. I don't know. But I imagine Dad said, what are you doing?
Yeah.
The others are going to ask you, what are you doing?
Yeah.
That's the dumbest thing I ever seen anybody do. Don't you do it. Huh? And he cut them ox's throat, gutted them out, skinned them out, flayed all the meat, cooked it up right good, burned all the carcass, laid the plow and the harness and the yoke there, had a good fire going. Then he hollered and said, boys, y'all quit plowing. Come and eat. This will be my last meal with you. You got this in your mind, don't you? That's what happened here.
Yeah.
You know why? Because he said, I'm all in, guys.
Yeah.
I see y'all in glory. I'm all in. We need Christians today. It's all in. Are you willing to be all in this morning? See, that's your challenge. See, last week was, I want to be the one. I'm asking you this morning. You come back tonight, we'll give you another part of it. But I want you to think about it. You need to burn the past to be all in. You're going to have to sell out. Huh? Elijah didn't buy in. He didn't buy in. He sold out. See, I think a lot of times we want to buy into something. Get a piece of the pie. No, we sell out.
Yeah.
Are we still okay this morning? Listen to me. Now, listen carefully. When we sell out and go all in, we got to burn the past, but we got to live in the present. We got to prepare for the future, but I can't live in the future. I can't live today on the streets of gold in heaven. Listen to me. I can't live today on the streets of gold in heaven. That's my future. That's my future. I've got to live in the here and now. I need to be all in now. I need to be all in for you. I need to be all in for me. I need to be all in for the community. I need to be all in for them kids downstairs. I need to be all in. I got to spend Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday with that oldest grandson. And sat and talk about the Lord and sat and talk about responsibilities and things that's expected from Him. I didn't care about a deer. They come anyway, but I enjoyed the time. Can I tell you, I got to be all in for Him. Amen. Them kids downstairs need a preacher that's all in. Hey, but they need church members that's all in. And teachers and leaders and those that influence, they need somebody all in. Huh? Not hit and miss. Not in and out. Not plan B. Plan A. Plan A. We need sold out. Think about it. Now, I know that we're living in a time where we got to be on the defense. You know, I agree. Y'all know I'm all time preaching against sports. I know that. But I'm not ignorant of sports. I may not like it, but I'm not ignorant of it. And you know, y'all can expect this from me. If I was your coach, and you're going to play basketball for me, there's only one defense. If you're going to play for me, there's only one. That's a full court press. Every quarter. Every minute. Full court press. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, you don't give the enemy time to breathe. You get in there and give it all. Huh? If I'm your football coach, guess what the defense is going to be? It's going to be a full blitz. It's going to be a full blitz every play. It's going to be a full... You say, yeah, but sometimes the enemy might get a pass in. Yes, sometimes. But if you blitz him enough, he ain't going to be able to throw. Huh? What we need is some Christians, you know, like Lawrence Taylor and Jack Tatum. Now, that's before most of y'all was born. Huh? We need a Lawrence Taylor. Go look him up. That puts quarterbacks out of commission, you know. Jack Tatum. That's why people like Joe Theismann had to quit playing ball. Because of the tackles and the hits that these men... Are you understanding what I'm saying? We can't just be on the defense, but if we are, we better be on the offense and be all in. Huh? See, what little bit of ball I played... Guess what? I played linebacker. That was a good place to be. That was a good place to be. But I wasn't taught to be the linebacker that stayed back. Roger Eaves told us that we had that monster, how was it? A monster mash defense. I like the name of that monster mash. Huh? Guess what that was? Well, that wasn't laid back to see what they're going to do. That was get in there where they're at. Can I tell you, we need somebody that's willing to get in there where it's at. Yeah. All in. Huh? We still okay? See, we can see our slack. We need to get all in for our marriage. See, the spiritual temperature of the church house is a reflection of the spiritual temperature down at my house.
Hello.
And we need to be all in for that and push the plate on romance and push the plate on intimacy and push the plate on love. We need to be willing to push the plate to get all in.
Amen.
Amen, preacher.
Amen.
Huh? But we choose to float. Plan B, how to stay back. Just laid back. I'm not very laid back. Can I tell you? You lose the far. Can I tell you? If you don't get all in down at the house, they won't be much far. If you're not all in down at the church house, guess what? Ain't going to be much far. We need all in. All in. That's what we need. We need all in. You think about it now. When we come to the church, we let things just go and we're content. Well, let me ask you. Everybody look at me now. I want you to answer this question to yourself. What plans have you made this year for your spiritual growth? What plans have you made? I mean, you've had all year. What plans have you made for your spiritual growth? Did you succeed with them plans? I mean, surely you had a plan. You had a plan for everything else. You had a plan for your 401k. You had a plan on so much on your mortgage. You had a plan on your vacation. You had a plan on all your recreation. You got plans for Christmas. But where and what did you plan for your spiritual growth this year?
That's good. Come on.
Are you where you wanted to be? Are you where you wanted to be spiritually? You say, why do you make no plans? You know why? You ain't all in. You ain't all in. Why? I was just trying to tread water. Don't tread water, swim. It takes more energy to tread water than it does swim to ground you get your feet on. A fat man knows that. If I go out in the water, I'm not going to tread water. I'm going to find something to put my feet on. Huh? Are we still okay this morning? I preach about being all in. Huh? But see, the reason that our spiritual growth is not in our plan is because we didn't burn our ox. We didn't burn our plow because we got something to fall back to. See, if worst comes to worst, I can always go to the world. Can I tell you that once you're saved, you don't fit in the world no more? They don't want you because you smell of good. You smell of good. Huh? Are you hearing me? Because you don't leave the Lord. He's inside of you, and your aroma don't fit in the world. You'll not fit there. If you do, you've never been saved.
Amen.
You need all in this morning. You need all in. Elisha, we know what Elisha done. He got all in. You know what he got all in? He made spiritual plans. You know what his spiritual plan was? I want double.
Yeah, that's right.
He want double. He started following Elijah, and he said, I ain't leaving your side. You don't need to be here. I'm going to, no, I go where you go. Well, I want double. I want double. Spiritual growth. Are you still following me this morning? But he didn't ask for double till he burned his ox. He didn't ask for double till he burned his past and burned his failures and burned his regrets and burned his guilt. Huh? Then he got all in. But wait a minute. He wanted double. Well, that meant double blessing, didn't it? That meant double power, didn't it? But it also meant double trouble. Also meant double trials. It also meant double disappointment. See, when you get double, you get double. Huh? Years ago, me and Cheryl, we would go out and eat on half, on payday Friday. We go out and eat. We come to the bank, and we usually go up here to Stonewall. Here to Stonewall Grill. We usually got the same meal. Cheryl usually got oven baked chicken and something with it. And I always got baked steak and gravy. Always. Baked steak and gravy, baked potatoes, roll. Never forget, I went up there and I'd been working a lot. And we sat down, I ordered. And when I ordered, I told the waitress, I said, now bring me another one. Just like everything I ordered here, I want another one. And she said, well, you can't eat that. I said, well, that's none of your business. I said, I'm paying for it. I said, you just bring it. I want double. She said, ain't no way. I said, yeah, don't worry about it. Just bring it. See, I already had my thought set. I was going to leave there full. So she brought me baked steak and gravy, green beans, mashed potatoes and a roll. And right when I was finishing up, she set the other plate and I ate that baked steak, green beans, mashed potatoes and a roll. I ate a piece of coconut cream pie, or it might have been graham pie. Might have been what Bonnie made back then. Bonnie had it. I think it was graham cracker pie. Huh? And I was just right. I wasn't overly full. I didn't stop and get nothing else, but I was just... But you know why? Because my sight was set on the double portion.
Oh, yeah.
Elijah didn't care, or Elisha didn't care about none of the other. He was only content on the double portion.
Yeah.
Spiritual growth. Why can't we set our sights to get all in and get twice as much as we've ever had from God?
Amen.
Huh? And then when it's time to go, when it's time, can I tell you that Elisha was such a man of God that he had more power after he died than what most preachers have when they live? Because when they died and lowered his body in a grave and they hit the man that was already dead, he got out of the grave and made room for Elisha to get in there and get buried. Huh? He'd been dead a while. Why? Because he said, I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm just trying to get us to see this morning. I can't wait for y'all January. See, let me tell you what's going on, John. We'll give you a new theme. I already got the theme for January. I'm going to give you a new theme. You're going to have to chew on it. You know, like you chewed for 8 weeks on love. They've been chewing all year on love. Do you know I preached all them weeks on love, and we've loved less this year than we ever have? Do you know that? We want love one another less. Our homes, our husband and wife don't love one another like he did. We don't love the church. We've missed more church than we've ever missed. And I preached all them weeks on love. I'm scared to preach anything else, really. Huh? If I can preach on love, we can't handle love. Well, tell you why we can't handle these things. Because we're not all in.
Amen.
We're not all in. We're not all in. Listen to me now. Last thing my daddy told me, he was dying there in Raleigh General Hospital. He had that breathing mask on. He hadn't ventilated him yet, put him on a ventilator. And I was trying to get him, in Charlottesville to see if they could get him down there in a lung doctor, but we knew they wouldn't. I mean, I was doing what I was asked to do. I get ready to go. I said, Dad, I'm going to be gone. I'm going to tell you I love you. Because I was going to drive down to Charlottesville to try to make arrangements. Never forget, he pulled that oxygen mask off his face. No, he said, do all you can. That was the last words you ever spoke to me. When I come back from surgery, they, well, of course, they couldn't take him. I drove down there and couldn't get him in. Come back up, they done vented him. Flew into Morgantown. That was on Friday. On Monday, 10 minutes after 4, he died. Never got off the ventilator. But I've thought about them words. Every day of my life, I think about them words of May the 21st, 2001. When Daddy said, do all you can. Do all you can. Well, there's been times I've tried to do all I can, then I clock up. And words keep haunting me. Do all you can. Do all you can. Hey, listen, I want to be determined to be all in this morning. But you need to be all in. But see, whether you get all in or not, I'm going to still get all in. See, whether or not you're going to come back and thank him, I'm going to be the one that comes back and thanks him. And I'm going to be the one, if I can, to take my calling where he chose me, and I'm going to be all in. I got a lot of regrets and a lot of failures, a lot of bad choices. But I've not found that stepping out to do something for the Lord, though it may have not worked, don't mean it was wrong. Listen to me. When I go to do for the Lord, just because it didn't work don't mean I was wrong. Don't mean that ain't what needed to be done. It might just be I needed to pay more attention on how to get it done. Are you following me? Now, do I still have a past? Well, sure. Do I still have bad choices? Well, yeah. But I can't live back there. I got to live here. Is everybody following me this morning? I want you to be all in. I'm going to give you three things here real quick. Cheryl, you go to piano. I believe this morning that there's some living in sin, lost this morning. You may act like you're saved. You may know the right words. You may even have went and got baptized and they signed your name on the church roll. Well, that's all might be well and good, but there's nothing in your heart and you know it. There's not been no change in your life. There's no desire for the Word of God. There's no desire for the life with God. There's no desire for the things of God in your life. There's no desire. Because you're lost. You're lost. See, even people that's been saved that ain't doing right, they desire to do, but they ashamed or guilt or circumstance they're holding on to. But if there's not a desire, there's a problem. There's a problem. And you can't turn loose to the world. Try to hold on to the world here. Grab the Lord there, and that don't work. What you need this morning is to get all in. You're going to have to decide, I want to be all in. Come and follow the Lord Jesus. What's your name? What's your name? Then there's some this morning that your failure is wearing you out. You want to serve the Lord, but it comes right up to a failure and a regret and guilt, and you back off. There may be some things you can't do, but there's a lot of things that you can't do. To be all in. Go ahead and burn them failures and burn the regrets and burn the guilt. Quit living in plan B. You don't have to live on plan A. I believe the Bible says that God's calling you without repentance. What the book says. Still okay? I believe there's some who are failing and don't realize it. I always think of, y'all seen Andy Griffith. I know y'all seen all the program. Remember when Barney got the motorcycle in the sidecar? Remember when the bolts was all took out of it? Barney takes off and Andy's sitting in the sidecar. Andy thought he was going with him. But he didn't know he'd been unhooked. You follow me? Sometimes we think we're hooked up and we ain't. And everybody takes off and we're sitting there and we're not hooked. Sometimes we're blinded by ambition. We're not blinded by the ambition to be a sold out child of God. We're blinded by the ambition of the world. Blinded by ambition for our children. Doors open. Because doors are open does not mean we're supposed to go through them. Sometimes we find ourselves wondering what's happened. You find yourself wondering where the joy went. Find yourself wondering where the peace goes. Where'd all that, where that zeal and excitement go? Where'd it go? Well, there was trials come your way. You went to plan B. There was trouble come your way. You went to plan B. There was bad choices you chose. You went to plan B. You need to gather all that up, put on the fire this morning. But you're going to have to decide. I can't decide for you. Just do me the courtesy. And don't tell me you can't. Because there's no sense in lying to me. It'll be I won't. But it won't be because you can't. The decision to be all in. I think I'll just get all in. When I go swimming in a, if I ever do, it's Mr. Rare, I don't climb down the ladder. Never. Never. Whoever's in there, look out. I'm coming in wide open, cannonball spread. I just like all in.